Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey, welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you by Myers & Associates, serving the Midwest with industrial maintenance products and services. Call them at 515-795-3676. Myers & Associates, keeping your operations running. Hey, welcome back to another week of Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. This is Shane Vanderhart with Brian Myers, and we are at the Family Leadership Summit. We're recording here and getting to talk to a number of guests.
It's been a great event.
Yes, it's been a very good event, and it's a little bit different than it's been in years past. Usually it's been more politically oriented. This year it's definitely been more how to grow in your faith and, right. and prayer life how we could be a witness for Christ and also with family. And we have a varied list of guests who are coming by the show this episode. So we have in front of us T.C. Stallings. He starred in the 2015 hit movie War Room. He's an actor, speaker, and author of The Pursuit, 14 Ways in 14 Days to Passionately Seek God's Purpose for Your Life. He's a keynote speaker at the Family Leadership Summit. Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, TC.
All right, thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
So, what gets a person into acting? I mean, you played football for University of Louisville, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, what got me into it?
Yeah.
For me, it started with, I was pursuing the NFL and I love playing football, and I'll go and see a movie called Fireproof. And when I watched the impact that movie had in the theater, I'm watching people literally brought to tears and saying to them, to their wives to their husbands that they want to change, they want to fix their marriages and things like that. And I saw the power that it had, and I said to myself, okay, I think I know what I want to do when I'm done, and I hadn't had any training or anything like that, but I knew I wanted to give it a shot, and it was something to pray about. And so I turned to my wife, and I said, who made this film? And she said, the Kendrick Brothers. And so I said, well, I'm going to start praying about working with the Kendrick Brothers. And, there's a story to it, but a year and a half later, I ended up in the movie Courageous, working with the Kendrick Brothers. So yeah. It was one of the first signs that I knew it was God's will for me to do film, and I've been pursuing it hard ever since.
So in the midst of praying about this, did you seek them out, or how did that all work out?
Yeah, I actually, Erin Bethea played the wife of in Fireproof. I sent her an email. I literally just poured my heart out in an email. And she ended up seeing that email. She gave it to the Kendrick Brothers. The Kendrick Brothers looked it over, and they were looking for someone that they needed a guy that loved Jesus Christ, but you can't tell that on the screen. He has to play this rough guy.
Right.
And so I got a chance to do, and this was at the last moment, that I got a chance to get this audition, so I had to do it over Skype.
Okay.
And I did two Skype auditions because I had no time to get to Georgia, Albany, Georgia, where they are. And they said, we got our guy. And that's how I got the role.
Cool. So, watching War Room, that was a very powerful movie about how prayer can really change a person's life and circumstances and the power of prayer. I'd say you were very convincing that movie because I was mad at you.
Thank you. Any actor will tell you they love to hear that. The goal. The goal is okay, you want to take the audience on a nice roller coaster of a ride,
right?
And so you have to go from disliking the guy to wondering which way is this guy going to turn.
Uh-huh.
Then you're in the middle and you're like, man, I could see myself cheering for him. And then now you're pulling for him because you see the Lord tugging at his heart. And then now it's like you're cheering for him. So that roller coaster, if anyone ever tells you, you took me on that ride, man, that really makes me smile and humble by it. And it means you did your job, and it's exciting to hear that.
So tell us a little bit about yourself. A lot of our listeners may not be aware of your background, where you grew up, and things you did prior to being on, in Courageous and
sure.
War Room.
Cleveland, Ohio. Grew up in Cleveland, Ohio.
So you're a Tribes fan? Tribe fan?
I have all Cleveland sports.
Okay.
All Cleveland sports. Go Class, go Cavs, go Tribe, go Browns. Yeah, I was even just if you're in Cleveland, I'd cheer for you. Cleveland Crunch. That was our soccer team. I didn't even like soccer. Cleveland all the way with the sports. And, start playing football at a young age and played my high school ball at Bedford High School. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I graduate and, you know, head to Louisville and I play there and just continue to pursue football and got a chance to play in the CFL, the Arena League over in Europe. And did that all the way up until, you know, the Lord shifted my passions. But
so how many years did you end up spending in professional football?
About 6.5, almost 7.
Okay. Yeah, what position you play?
So running back and a kick returner.
Okay.
And depending on what league I was in, you know, when I was in the Arena League, I ended up playing cornerback as well. So you'd be all over the place.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Play some free safety as well as kick returner in Europe. So you just, you know, everywhere but offensive line.
Yeah.
Because they put me on defensive line one time just to get a sack on the quarterback.
Because you're fast.
Runs out, yeah, right.
So just, I was told that when I was much smaller than I am now.
Right.
I was put nose guard because you're quick.
Like, yeah.
But they're like 300 pounds. It's right. Not going to matter. You know.
Don't let them get their hands on you. Yeah. Yep.
So you wrote a book.
Sure.
What led you to write this this book, The Pursuit?
Psalms 139:16. When I read the scripture and I looked at what the Lord had done in my life, you know, Psalm 139:16 says, "You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed." And I looked at that and I realized the impact that had on my future, one that God knows and I don't. And so to operate doing what I want to do and not praying about it, I just felt it's a dangerous way to live. And when I start praying and watch how my whole passions got shifted and how I could see clearly with life and I wasn't confused about life and I felt strengthened as I lived my life. And when I saw the benefits of that,
right,
I wanted to make sure every Christian, and those that say Christian, because, you know, if you're not a Christ follower, and you're not even going to go for what's in scripture. You might not even believe Psalms 139:16.
Right.
But for every Christian who believes scripture, I knew that I wanted to make sure everybody was enlightened by this and they didn't miss this very key scripture that the Lord planned your life before you were born. So we need to pray and consult him for it. And so that caused me to write it and build 13 other scriptures to, you know, encourage you to follow that scripture. Because some people know what they need to do, but that don't necessarily mean they'll do it. The other scriptures are designed for you to go through them each day and encourage you to seek your purpose. So it impacted my life greatly, and I felt the responsibility after praying on it to make sure everyone else could experience what I experienced.
Great. You're listening to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, and with us we have T.C. Stallings, who's a author and actor, and we're at the Family Leadership Summit. Brian, you had a question?
Yeah, TC. So with this emphasis on prayer and seeking the will of God, does it give you an extraordinary amount of confidence then when you pursue something, like, for example, your acting career?
Yeah, because the prayer comes before the pursuit. The validation comes before the pursuit. The Jesus signing off on it, God signing off on it, the Holy Spirit signing off on it. It's almost like, If Jesus Christ comes to me and say, "Hey, I want you to go left," I got every confidence in the world about going left, because I know it's his purpose for me to make that turn, and I know it's going to work out. It's unstoppable, not because I'm unstoppable, but because he is. So since you can't stop him, you can't stop me if I'm doing what he told me to do. And so I take everything like that. I don't do something without knowing he signed off on it. And so I just run it through prayer, and I wait until I get a clear answer that this is him. And through reading scripture and praying, okay, you can hear the answers. You continue to read scripture, you continue to pray, and you say a simple prayer of, "Lord, make sure I see what you're asking me to do clearly and not doing what I think it is or assuming it is. I literally want you to make sure in my heart and mind that I'm following you. If I'm not, close the door on what I'm doing and open the door on the right things." It's a very direct James 1:5 type of prayer. He said, "If you lack wisdom, ask God." And so that's what I do. So once he signs off on it, absolutely have all the confidence in the world that I should go into it, and I go at it, and I go hard.
Unfortunately, that's a totally different approach. A lot of people approach prayer. It's like, instead, it's like, "I'm going to make plans. God, please bless my plans."
Right, right.
You know? And I mean, this is, we should be going to him in prayer before making decisions and bathing our decisions in prayer. And oftentimes, prayer is like one of the last things that we do.
Yeah.
What's helped you keep your focus in your prayer life? Because sometimes, you know, it's like you start praying, it's like squirrel, and you, right, get distracted, you know.
Right. Well, because like anything else, I'm an athlete, and you just basically named an example of what the defense would try to do. Uh-huh. You know, here I am, I'm a running back, and I'm trying to read the defense and get my reads together so I can block so you don't sack my quarterback. And that linebacker says squirrel.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. That defensive line says squirrel, and I take my eyes off my assignment, and then my quarterback is sacked. That's exactly what Satan does. He tries to distract you. And to me, when I'm trying to pray, when I get, you know, distractions and things like that, I know it's Satan, and it's also just my human nature of not being able to focus. And so I'm continually praying for God to renew my perspective of prayer. I flat out don't want to miss anything. And so when I feel myself drifting or anything like that, that becomes my new prayer. Now I'm praying for focus.
Yeah.
You know, because I value it. Once you value something, because it's funny, you people don't struggle with taking their eyes off the game.
Right.
Because they value seeing all four quarters. People don't struggle with taking their eyes off the screen at the new release at the theaters.
Right.
Because they value that whole hour or two that they're there.
Right.
People don't take their eyes off that beautiful woman or that beautiful guy that they want to propose to because they value getting that answer.
Yeah.
So when you value something, it's a lot harder to take your eyes off of it. And so my life has created a value for prayer that makes it extremely hard for anybody to take my eyes off of it because I'm afraid to live life outside of it. So it's just, that's what I was talking about today, putting prayer in the right perspective and increasing its value through scripture and seeing what God can do through the life of someone that'll trust him.
Now, do I understand that right out of the gate after the success of Courageous that you had some other opportunities come your way, but they came a little too quickly, and you didn't have that confidence that that's where you were supposed to go.
Yeah.
And so you put that on hold?
Yeah, I put it in prayer. You know, I got a call right away from an agent in L.A. I live in Louisville, Kentucky at the time when Courageous came out, and they saw it, and they called me, and they wanted me to move to L.A. and start trying to act. And that just didn't seem like it was from the Lord. And I've been saying this lately that, you know, this is where you use your common sense. And my common sense told me that there's no way I'm sitting up here with a successful personal training business here in Louisville, Kentucky. I did one little film, and that doesn't mean run off and go changing your life,
right?
And doing some crazy things. You got a family, and you don't even know where you'd live. Like I started, my common sense said that. But common sense can become a common problem when you don't involve the Lord in it.
Right.
You just start doing what you think makes sense. Because the Bible says his ways are not our ways all the time.
Yeah.
And his thoughts are not our thoughts. And he planned my life, you know, not me. So for me, when I started to think that way, I was immediately convicted that I didn't pray about it. When I prayed about it, he rocked my world and turned it upside down and basically showed me exactly, for the most part, because he left some things to the imagination, but he showed me, hey, I am calling you out. This is me. This is from me. And had I not prayed, I wouldn't have realized that it was. So that's why prayer is just so big time, you know, because his thoughts are different. And by praying to him, we can find out how he thinks and what he wants us to do.
All right, great. So as far as how do you communicate? What do you do with your family? You mentioned you have family. I know you got a wife. Do you have any kids?
Yeah, a wife, two kids, 14-year-old daughter, 8-year-old son. He'll be okay. 8 in August.
So how are you teaching them to you know, what advice would you give, I guess, to families out there? How can we start as a family, and, you know, encouraging prayer in our family?
The very first thing you do, and this is what I always tell advice givers. Like someone just asked me for advice. Every single situation doesn't apply to every family. So I would tell first and foremost that you want to ask the Lord, how should I invest in my children? Like, in which way should I invest in my children? I know one thing that every Christian dad and every Christian mom should be doing is reading scripture and praying with their kids. Now, in terms of how you do it, what method, what time, all of that, let the Lord tell you.
Right.
But certainly, you should be studying scripture as a family, praying as a family, and then telling the Lord to lead and guide each child in its God-given purpose,
uh-huh,
and for you to play your part in making sure they achieve that purpose. That is just a scriptural thing that every Christian parent should be doing, because just like God had a purpose for me, he has a purpose for my children. And I don't know what that is, so the only way I can know is by praying to God, saying, hey, tell me how to raise my son. Tell me, you know, what I should be praying with him about, and, you know, help me to lead him to you and just continue to seek him. And so that's really the key. And I just want to see more families doing that, you know, praying together with their children, reading scripture with their children. And that would be my advice. And then let him work out the specific details for each family.
Right. Well, in the movie War Room, the focus was so much on prayer. I'm just kind of curious, what was it like, you know, behind the scenes? I mean, you're talking a lot about prayer. I'm assuming, did you guys pray as a cast? What types of things did you guys do together as a cast to encourage one another?
Prayed over absolutely every scene. Had a devotion every single day. And this is what's unique to a Christian set.
Uh-huh.
And we didn't want to depend on personal talent. We wanted to depend on the Lord. So we would always say, Lord, help us communicate what needs to be communicated in this scene. and bless each actor, but one depend on you and not talent. So prayer remained a big part. There were some personal things, personal prayer circles that popped up through anybody's personal pain that had nothing to do with the movie War Room. So it was a very real part. You know, it's when you see that happening, it's not an act. Like War Room isn't a movie where a bunch of people are acting about praying.
Uh-huh.
We're making a movie about what we really do in real life, and so it's like when you have. When you live in real life on set, you end up praying. So it was a very real part of the set.
TC, we've got about a minute and a half left. You've had a couple of successful roles under your belt. What's next with respect to your acting career? Have anything figured out yet?
Yeah, well, to date, you know, there's 10 films I've done. And if the Lord says do another one, I'll do it. It's all wrapped up in Him. I'll continue to run every script I get through Him. If He signs off on it, I'll do it. And I'll continue to write and help people to get closer in scripture and relationship with Him, continue to get around the country and speak, and just seeking Him for my purpose and then obeying. And so because He wrote my future and I don't know all of it yet, I'll continue to wait and see it as it develops. But right now, right in front of me, I know He's got me writing books, traveling the country, speaking, and running my roles through Him. And I'll continue to do that.
Where can people keep in touch with you and with what you're doing?
My website is www.tcstallings.com, and I'm TC Stallings on all social media. Except Instagram, I'm actor TC Stallings there. And I look forward to just hearing, for those who are reading The Pursuit, thank you. And I love to hear how the Lord is moving as you read.
God bless you. Thank you so much for coming on Caffeinate Thoughts Radio. Hey, stay tuned. We have got a lot of good guests coming up. We have... next segment, we have Dr. Gary and Barb Rosberg of American Family Coaches. We have Rick Box with Integrity Resource Center. And also Joe Tywell with, probably pronouncing his name wrong.
Tywell,
coming up with, he's with Wrote Fit for the King. Stay tuned. This is Caffeinate Thoughts Radio. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Brian Myers of Myers & Associates. If you're involved in maintenance at a manufacturing plant, you know how costly it can be when a machine goes down. And if the reason that machine went down is because the electronic controls on it failed, it can really be problematic if those electronics are obsolete. Well, not to worry. We represent Providence Industrial Electronics Repair, and they can get your machine up and running in no time. They repair boards, drives, servo motors, light curtains, you name it. So if you need industrial electronics repaired at your plant, or if you have other industrial maintenance needs, give me a call at 515-490-2640. That's Myers & Associates, 515-490-2640. Myers & Associates, keeping your operations running.
Welcome back, Caffeinate Thoughts Radio. Caffeinate Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Travis Riswold of Modern Woodmen of America. Call Travis at 515-883-0029, and he can help you find the life insurance
you need.
Well, we're back at the Family Leadership Summit. Obviously, we're recording our show a little bit earlier than we normally do, but we wanted you to be able to hear from some of these great speakers and guests at the summit. We have sitting in front of us Gary and Barb Rosberg, who are known as America's Family Coaches. I've known the Rosbergs for a long time and had gone to church with them for a while, too, and had attended Cross Trainers. And so welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Thank you. I could use some caffeine for the slot.
Definitely.
I've known them for 3 minutes.
You've known them for 3 minutes?
And you already said you wanted to kiss and make up with your wife, or what was that about?
No.
Did I preempt that?
You said something about having to have a fight first, and I said, let's just have a
on-the-air marriage counseling session.
Well, I need counseling. Yeah. There's no question
We don't do counseling. We do coaching.
There is a difference between the two.
And the difference is that coaching goes backwards and looks into the past and root issues, but coaching is results-oriented. coaching takes you from right now to goal-related marriage coaching. And we love it because it's fun. We make sure everybody has a lot of wins, so their game.
Yeah, because she'd been married to me for 41 years, and she knows what happens when a guy doesn't have a win once in a while.
Right. Well, yeah. you guys have an event coming up called, I'm looking at it, it's like Kiss and Make Up. I'm
you
intrigued.
Like that, don't you?
I do.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah. Last year, as you may know, we go to South Africa and spend a month there every year doing ministry with Focus on the Family. So we've done 52 events, had about 20,000 people over the last 7 years, headed back this October. And last year we launched a tour in South Africa called Kiss and Make Up. And we were literally sitting on a park bench in Door County, Wisconsin, on our 40th wedding anniversary, just saying we need a catchy title for this topic of coaching people on resolving conflict and also building sexual intimacy. And so Barb came up with, well, Gary, you know, when we have a conflict every once in a while, because we're both, I'm strong, you're kind of strong, that we need to kiss and make up.
You know what's fun is just staying silent and letting you do all the talking.
Letting me walk.
But I do recall you came up with the kiss and make up.
Yeah.
You did. And thank you for...
And then we practiced.
Well, that part is really true.
Yeah, that was true.
So we've practiced all throughout South Africa and did how many events?
Several.
And we love it. And so a lot of our Des Moines friends have said, when are you doing a date night in Des Moines?
Okay.
Everybody can make time for a date night. Everybody likes to take their marriage and bring it up. So what we do is we are going to be at the Cornerstone Church, and we're going to have a date night. And guaranteed people will laugh. You'll cry, but you will laugh again. And most importantly, you'll walk out of there with the skills to put in your toolbox to know how to have a great time of attachment and kissing and making up.
Yeah, and Dan and Ann Berry, the pastors over at Cornerstone Family, great friends. And so that Cornerstone Family always offers an incredible opportunity. So we're going to have a blast there.
Great. What's the date for that?
August 5th.
Let's tell them how to register.
Yeah, it's on here somewhere. From 7 to 9:30 at night. Yeah,
but you have to register it. imcornerstone.com/happenings.
And folks, we'll have a link to that up on our website after the show airs. That's great. And that's one of the things, I mean, you've been obviously known for is how you strengthen families.
Yeah.
You're also doing a lot for military families. I saw this year you launched a campaign called Honoring America's Heroes. What's that all about?
Oh, very cool.
It is, Brian. Eleven years ago, a general, Martin Graber, in Iowa, was listening to us on the radio and had some troops returning from Iraq, and they had dismantled mines. So they were from the 224th Engineering Battalion. Some of the guys were lost life, some wounded, but their marriages were under a lot of stress. So he asked Barb and I to do something to help their marriages. And I grew up in a family. We fly the American flag every day. You can go by my house any day. It's lying. When he asked me if we would help, all I could see is my dad's face. He's in heaven. But my dad would kick can you say Fanny?
Fanny, that'll work.
And if he knew that a general in the United States Army called his boy and said, help, and I said, well, it's inconvenient or we can't raise the money. So I said yes. And that launched a 10-year program to help military. So God has raised over $574,000. We have resourced 27,000 of our books and DVDs to Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, some guardsmen in the Coast Guard. And then 3 years ago started helping wounded warriors. Not the Wounded Warrior Project, but just men and women that had experienced significant injuries. So we launched our own campaign, Honoring America's Heroes. We have 20 couples. They're amputees, burn victims, traumatic brain injury, paraplegic, loss of sight, all over the map. They all have PTSD. Over half are Green Berets. So these are stud military.
Right.
Two of the wives in the group, husbands died, so they're Gold Star wives, and they're now in relationships with other men, and so they're part of our group. But for the most part, these are all heroes that have been deeply wounded. And they're in 13 states, and God has brought them into our pathway. And so we love them, we share Christ with them, we coach them, we gather them, We have seen God build community, so they're connected. So when one of them's struggling, they go on our Facebook private page with Barb and I and 20 couples, and they share their need, and boom, everyone's in there.
Great.
Taking care of them.
You know, one thing that's been unique, I should say, I guess, with respect to these guys over the last 10 years that have been serving in Afghanistan and Iraq.
Yes, sir.
There's a new dynamic here, and that's guys that are serving two and three different tours, perhaps.
Consecutive.
And perhaps in one country and then going to the other and so on and so forth. That has to be enormously stressful. Under the best of circumstances, very stressful to these families.
One of the branches of the military, and I respect them all, but one is known for consecutive duties. And the wear and tear on relationship is very, very real. But I want to stand up and say, you've never met a woman of authority and confidence until you've met a military wife, especially in that particular group of people.
Yeah.
I respect them. They have got a mantle on them that I am a pansy. I mean, I am like, I feel like the things that I complain about, are you kidding? These women rise up to the occasion. They understand what they should do, and then they do it. They are amazing. They are amazing leaders. They are also, you know what I'm impressed about? They're women under authority, and the word respect and being under authority, understanding the fine masculine leadership of their husband and the wife being a responder and responding to the authority of her husband. Now listen, there is something that makes a man so masculine and a woman be all that she's meant to be. I am so impressed with military wives. I really am.
And they're incredibly teachable.
You're listening to Caffeinate Thoughts Radio, and sitting across from us, we have Dr. Gary and Barb Rosberg, and we're here at the Family Leadership Summit. What are you you finished up with your workshop with what did you talk about? I happen to miss it.
Yeah, well, we're going to teach some of this at Kiss and Make Up.
Okay.
We talked about having a winning marriage.
Yeah.
You know what? When you're married to a man who's win, 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 I just love to get out there and tell him how great it is to be married to Gary. 41 years. And I give you an adventure of your life because I make a lot of mistakes. And you
and
just
Barb's
stand
commitment
up.
Is to stay married to me so I don't ruin some other woman's life.
Well, you know what? It goes both ways here. Yeah.
Well, I've been married 38 years, and I think my wife needs some heavy medication.
Yeah. Well, August 5th, we'll have some caffeinated thoughts for you. Yeah.
Oh, please come.
Come. We primarily looked at five issues. One of them is something called reliability trust. Everyone wants to be trusted. The question isn't, do we want to be trusted? The question is, are we trustworthy? So how do you build reliability in marriage? If you say you're going to be home at 6, you're not coming home at 6, you call when you find out so that you're trustworthy.
Mm-hmm.
Then we talk about heart trust. Once you've been reliable with your word, can you be trusted to hold each other's heart?
Vulnerability is courage.
Yep, yes. And then talk about emotional availability. Do you keep resiliency in your spirit to be emotionally available? Do you then respond with sensitivity? So those are four elements, and they're all rooted then in a biblical marriage where we're sold out for Christ, and Christ is in the midst of that marriage. And so that's a quick flyover.
Sure. You know, you guys have been doing this for a while, and I remember one of the critiques.
Your point of that would be
a while. He's being
Gary.
He's being gracious.
Gary, how old are you? Is what
no?
I think.
He said a while. He's
a while.
He's
a while could be like 5 years.
Yes.
So, moments.
Right.
Yes. Moment.
Yeah,
go
we've
ahead.
Been doing it for.
Don't
a while.
Let us interrupt you.
And so, you know, one of the critiques for a lot of people. I remember back in 2009 when the Supreme Court turned. And I'm not going to get necessarily into that topic with the gay marriage, but one of the criticisms we heard a lot is like, well, why are you worried about this when the divorce rate is so high in the church? What kind of impact are you seeing within the church from not just a result of your ministry, but a focus on strengthening marriages in the church? You probably don't have hard data, but maybe some stories.
You know, that's a great question. I think every one of us, by God's design, are made for relationship. Relationship with God and relationship with one another. And we long for that connection within marriage and family. Oftentimes, people today do not know how to find it. They don't know the roadmap. And I think that's why we're here, in order to help couples experience breakthroughs. We've got a loop that Gary designed a number of years ago, and oftentimes we'll sit down with couples. We will take one conflict, and we always say start with a small one. We want it to be a win.
Uh-huh.
We take them all the way to resolving a small conflict, and it's a win-win. Then they get confidence. They go, let us do another one, and they choose another topic. Usually within an hour, we can go through about three issues that have been trigger points, and they walk out feeling confident because they know how to close the loop. Close the loop of conflict resolution. It's very powerful.
Yeah, and I think the punchline on all this is, are people teachable?
Yeah.
When somebody is independent, when somebody is not walking with Christ, when somebody is believing their press clippings, when somebody is, bottom line, not surrendered. So somebody asked me recently, because I started serving families in Iowa in 73. So that's over 40 years ago. And they said, Gary, in 40 years, what have you learned? And it really comes down to one word. It's surrender.
Yeah.
Bottom line is, you give me a guy who is surrendered.
And a woman.
And a woman who is surrendered. And they're willing to be examined. They're willing to say, I can't do this apart from Christ. They're willing to be teachable. They're willing to say, help. We can kick it for the kingdom. I mean, we can do some great stuff. You give me somebody who is trying to manage their sin, somebody who is living two lives, somebody whose public self and their private self aren't in the same zip code, let alone connected, then, you know what, they're blowing smoke and they're not going to get very far.
Right.
And so Barb and I are passionate. So that's why we meet with cross trainers every week. Mm-hmm. We've been doing that for 26 years.
That's a Valley Church on Wednesdays at 6:30.
6:30. Ridiculous time of the day.
Absolutely.
I wake
definitely
up at 5
to have
5
caffeine there
every Wednesday and go, why am I doing this? And it's an incredible inconvenience. And I love to tell the guys, this is an inconvenience. But it's 75 guys virtually every week. Salt of the earth, oak trees of righteousness. And I want to be around some guys that love Jesus, love their families, and are willing to stand with teachable hearts, mm-hmm. and surround myself with some godly guys. And so if people are teachable, it's a great place to be.
Great. Yeah, and I haven't been to cross trainers walks. I moved clear across town, but highly encourage if you're a man living in Des Moines area, and you can make it to Valley Church at 6:30 in the community center, highly encourage you to go.
It's a good place.
And check out americasfamilycoaches.com. Thank you so much, Gary and Barb.
Yeah, thank you for coming on.
Awesome. Enjoy.
We'll see August 5th at Kiss and Make Up, Brian.
Yeah.
Just bring your wife.
And that would be important.
Yes. The rest of you guys come, too.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
And it's looking forward to it. We're coming up here on a break, so stay tuned. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back in a moment.
Hi, this is Brian Myers. When I needed a better life insurance plan, I found it with Travis Risvold of Modern Woodmen of America. When I first met Travis, he wasn't like some other life insurance agents that can be pushy and try to get you to buy something. Travis just made himself available to me. That was it. He told me to let him know if and when I needed anything, and he stayed in touch. When the day came and I did need to make some changes with my life insurance, Travis met with me and walked me through several options so I could make an informed decision. Ultimately, it was the best decision for my situation. So if you need a better or the best life insurance plan for you, call my friend Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. His number is 515-883-0029. Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. He can help you find the life insurance you need. Call him at 515-883-0029.
Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We're still at the Family Leadership Summit,
As you may hopefully note by now, we're recording at the Family Leadership Summit, and because we wanted to catch some of the speakers and workshop leaders and different people that are running through. I want to keep on wanting to call this place Vets Auditorium. It's not Vets Auditorium anymore.
It's
Community
weird, though,
Choice
isn't it?
Convention Center.
Every time I come in this place, it's
oh,
like,
Community Choice Credit Union happen? Convention Center. Like they couldn't think of a longer name for this. So, anyway, we're at the old Vets Auditorium.
And we've been having a lot of fun. This
we
is a great
have.
Event.
And in, sitting in front of us, we have Rick Box. He's the CEO and founder of Integrity Resource Center. Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, Rick.
Oh, thank you.
So tell me, what is the Integrity Resource Center? What do you guys do?
Yes, we're a nonprofit ministry that is focused on training and equipping leaders to do business God's way. We just believe that if people bring their faith to work, that lives get changed, workplaces get changed, and communities get changed.
That is a unique ministry.
Yes.
How did you get started? I mean, what led you to start this work?
Well, mainly because my life was impacted. I was in banking, and I went to work one day for a bank president, and they had hired me on to be the chief lending officer. And I'd been running from God since I was a teenager. And all of a sudden, I'm working for this bank president that the first day he tells me, you probably need to know my priorities in life if you're going to work for me. And God's first, my family second, and this job's third. And as a workaholic at that stage in my life, I remember thinking, how does this guy think he's going to run a bank if it's that low on his list? It just didn't make any sense to me.
So three was two spots too low.
Yeah, that was too low for me. But every time I would go in and try and get decisions out of him for the bank, he would quote scripture or he would tell me, we're going to do this because there's a proverb that teaches that or there's a principle in scripture that teaches this. And I watched these decisions play out to be very, very wise. So God really used him to just start softening up my heart so that I saw the value in what was going on there. And I ended up having a traumatic experience in a riptide in Hawaii that brought me the rest of the way across to the Lord. But
so God had to kind of shout at you?
Oh, yeah. I was pretty hard-headed. But after that experience, I kind of went back to that bank and just headlong went into a wondering, what else does the Bible have to say about business? Because business had always been an area of passion for me. And so I started researching and I started looking around the country for ministries that might be doing something. And eventually, as I got hooked up with Larry Burkett's ministry in Atlanta area and learned a little bit from them and started doing some things with them, by that time, I'd switched banks, and I was helping to run a small community bank, and we eventually decided to sell it. And as I prayed about my transition during that time, it was like God was saying, you keep asking, why isn't anybody teaching these principles to business leaders?
Right.
That's what you need to go do.
Okay.
And so
So what year was that then?
21 years ago.
Okay.
Actually started originally as a for-profit consulting practice. I took principles out of the book of Nehemiah, and I went into small businesses and helped them integrate principles of faith into their planning processes in their business. And that quickly started evolving into Crown Ministries started calling and asking if they could refer all their business counseling calls to us. And I was helping over 600 different businesses a year through crisis on phone counseling. They asked me to start teaching their business by the book seminar around the country, which I began doing. And then I rolled out my own first book and started teaching on that. So it just kind of evolved. So in 2001, my board kind of woke up and said, this really doesn't look like a consulting practice as much as it looks like a ministry. Why don't we form a nonprofit and embrace what God seems to be blessing?
Yeah.
And so that's what we did. And so it's been just a joy to be able to serve the business community ever since.
Great. So taking your faith to work, what does that look like in a nutshell?
Yeah, you know, a lot of people, when they hear that phrase, they either think that it means purely evangelism. I'm going to run around and evangelize to everybody. Well, it's much, much more than that, because if God is in your work, if he's called you to a vocation, and that's first and foremost, is a lot of people get the flawed view of thinking that if they're not a pastor or a missionary, mm-hmm. then their work doesn't matter,
right.
Other than to bring in a paycheck. But reality is God has a plan for each and every one of us,
right.
And he wants our vocation to be part of that plan. And so we need to help people live it. And so if they're a plumber or they're a business owner, it doesn't matter which, they should be doing their work with excellence, and they should be doing it in a way that pleases God. I mean, we actually use an acronym called FIRE, and we've got a Bible study that I wrote called FIRE in the Workplace, and the acronym stands for Faith, Integrity, Relationships, and Excellence. And we think that if you focus on those four items in business, you're going to have a more complete way.
Rick, you started the work, shall we say, 21 years ago. A lot of things have changed, especially just
yes.
recently, as
yes.
far as faith in the workplace.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about how things have changed for you in that regard.
You know, it's actually been, even though there seems to be more challenges, God has been really breathing into the marketplace. When I started, there was actually a book that was written about the modern-day faith at work movement, and when I read it, I was kind of stunned because it said that it started in the mid-90s, and I'm like, wait a minute, that's when I started. And so I was really a pioneer in this movement, and I didn't even realize it at the time. But today, there's literally thousands of ministries around the country that have some element of focus on faith at the workplace. And so we're seeing finally some traction of business leaders understanding this, and finally churches starting to get it. That's been the hardest road, is most pastors do not really fully understand the faith at work theology.
Well, absolutely. I mean, yeah, our work is our calling, and that's, mm-hmm. you know, God doesn't call everybody, like you mentioned earlier, to be pastors or missionaries. Most people are called to work at Principal here in town, or Wells Fargo.
Sure.
And that's very much our mission field. So, what you've probably been hearing, what are some legal challenges?
Oh yeah,
to you know, bringing your faith to work that people might encounter.
Yeah, you know, we held a conference here 2 months ago in Des Moines as kind of a launch event that we co-hosted with Faith at Work Iowa, and we brought in Kelly Shackelford from the
right.
First Liberty Council out of Dallas, and they're the largest nonprofit that represents Christian legal rights. And Kelly really brought a great message of hope for the Christian business community, because he claimed that over all these years they've been doing this, they've won over 90% of all the cases they've ever tried, all the way to the Supreme Court, and they've never lost a case to the ACLU. And so his message of hope was, if God's calling you to step up and do something, don't just fold up your tent and go away when someone threatens you.
Right.
Instead, do what God's called you to do. And if you get in trouble, call us and we'll get you out of trouble. And I think that's a message that we need to realize today, that it really revolves around what Peter taught in 1 Peter, that, you know, be prepared to give an answer for the hope that lies within you, but do it with gentleness and respect.
And I think that's the part that a lot of people forget.
Right.
Gentleness and respect. I mean,
and that's how the law works.
Yeah.
Is in reality, is if you show respect and dignity to others, you won't violate the law. Because if they tell you, I don't want to hear your preaching anymore,
okay.
then you need to back off.
Yeah.
But whenever you cross the line and you keep pushing, then you've disrespected them, and you've also disrespected the Word of God.
Yep. And something, you know, in that regard that I teach people and I talk about all the time, too, is that God's called us to be faithful, not to be fruitful.
Right.
God, you know, the fruit's God's job, us just being faithful and sharing the gospel. That's what he's called us to do. So,
yes.
So that should be at low pressure,
mm-hmm.
and listen to his voice and watch for opportunities. Where can people learn more?
Yeah, they can go to our website at integrityresource.org. Integrityresource.org. We have a lot of great resources online for people that just want to get serious about how they live out the calling that God's given them for their vocation.
Rick, thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot, Rick.
Okay, thank you all.
This is Captain Athos Radio. We'll be back in a moment.
Approximately 15 million U.S. residents have their identities used fraudulently each year, with financial losses totaling upwards of $50 billion. Identity theft can ruin you financially, but consider with me something even more dangerous. I'm Scott Owen with Crosswalk Ministries of Central Iowa, and it's time to pause for peace. People tend to struggle to have peace with God and others because their identity in Christ has been stolen. If you don't really know who you are, then you are not going to know how to respond to others. Society has promoted independence, self-analysis, self-indulgence, and exploration of life outside of God's directives. We are created by God, and therefore our identity is in Him. We can read a scripture to know who we are. We are not dependent upon societal norms or trends that are fickle and ever-changing. Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold, and don't let it steal your identity. Get clarity on who you are in Christ. Call Crosswalk Ministries at 515-635-5465 or online at crosswalkcounseling.org.
Hey, welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We're just wrapping up our recorded broadcast from the Family Leadership Summit. We have at our table with us Joe Tilwell. He's the co-author of Fit for the King with David Bush. And you guys started a health fitness ministry as a result of this book. Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Well, I'm glad to be here. We started Fit for the King approximately about 2 years ago. And this thing's kind of gotten some momentum behind it. We've got some people on board with us in our message. We're working with a family leader, Bob Vanderplatz, and his company.
Okay.
And we're also working with Hope Ministries and kind of implementing our message and our program into their corporate perspectives.
Okay. Health fitness ministry.
Yeah.
How do you get involved in something like that?
Well, by God, actually. I've been...
in a word. Huh?
Yeah. I've been in the fitness industry, the secular fitness industry, for 25 years. And, I mean, I've trained from diabetics to professional athletes to children. I've been in that world for 25 years and met my mentor and co-author, David Bush, gave my life to Christ, and over a lot of eggs and coffee, talked about some of the things I was seeing in people and how I can't help them with diets and burpees and exercises because they have issues that are more spiritual. And through that came the truth, and the truth being that, you know what, we're trying to fix spiritual issues with physical components, and decided that we really wanted to step back, and the Christian body, as you look at it, our nation, right now, we're the most overweight,
right?
We're the most sedentary, we're the most medicated, but we have the most resources available to us to not be any of those things. However, if you look at the church represents 10% higher percentages of people that are overweight, sedentary,
really?
And medicated.
So we're worse off than the secular population.
We are.
Well, nobody's talking like, you know, nobody addresses like the sin of gluttony, for instance. I've never heard a sermon on that.
And we've talked about gluttony in some of our workshops, and you should see kind of the oohs and the ahs. That's a word that brings attention to people,
right?
Because people could easily feel persecuted or could feel judged.
Right.
But the truth being known is that there's a personal accountability to that. And our thing is that we believe that your body is a very important component of worship. And Christians are not available. We're not available because, you know what, Lord, I love you and I believe in you. And Lord, I'll follow you. But unfortunately, my knees and my back and my doctor says gets in the way. And what we believe, the other end of the culture is people who live in the blender, people that are doing the next 5K, or they can't wait for the next Ironman or put their selfie on Facebook.
Yeah.
And so there's this huge mix.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we're trying to do is promote a biblical-based standard of
how
God sees our bodies.
So food's something to enjoy. It's something God gave us, but in moderation.
Absolutely.
And a lot of times I think food has become an idol for some people, too.
It absolutely is. And all people are in pursuance of things that give them a sense of healing or a sense of purpose. Or people are looking for ways to kind of numb themselves to their daily lives. And food... It's
a big part of that.
It's legal, it's ethical, and why not? It's available.
Tell us where we can learn more, or readers can learn more.
You can learn more on www.fit, the number 4, theking.net.
Thank you.
And we have several tools that we can engage people with that to kind of get them started with this message.
Great. Thank you so much, Joe, for coming on. And
absolutely. My pleasure.
And this wraps up our episode from the Family Leadership Summit.
This has been great.
This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll see you next week, everybody.
Take care.